This is Randy Jacobs. The date is November 2nd, 94, and this interview is taking place in Smithers. Mrs. Daly, can you tell me what you remember about the place where you were born?
I was born in Norway, in Oslo, or the city. I went to school there and had a couple of office jobs after I graduated from school. And I met my husband when I was 20, and we got married a year later.
At that time in Oslo, was that a common age for women to get married at?
Oh, yes. Really, if you didn't get married before you were 20, you didn't have a chance.
And at the time that you were working in Oslo, what kind of job choices did women have?
Well, they had all kinds of jobs, office jobs mainly, you know. And they were studying at the universities and things like that. But they usually got married in their own families to raise a family and get settled up.
Can you tell me what was made you decide to move to the Bulkley Valley?
Well, my husband, of course, everybody knows in 1930, depression, no jobs, no money, everybody was trying to get away to a better country, to make a living, you know, because it was, after the war, it was pretty bad. So everybody thought Canada sounded pretty good. Now hundreds of thousands of people left for Canada. So we came here with the same people. Even better.
So did your husband come over first?
He left us first, yes. And he stayed home. He was settled.
And was that a common thing for the man to come over first?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people did that. People did, some people had big families, you know. And you had to have some money and tickets and things like that, too.
So how did you arrange to come over here? Did you have to sell everything that you owned, or was...
Well, of course, that was done before he left. And I was sitting down there with the house and furniture and kids, you know, and waiting to see what's going to happen.
So how old were your kids at the time?
Six, seven, eight.
Six, five, and four.
Okay. So then after your husband came over here for a year, then you set out to come here.
Yeah.
And how did you get here? Did you take a boat, or how did you get here?
Yes, I took a boat from Oslo, Norway, to Halifax. And got children. I had to stop in for immigration.
And then?
And then on the train wherever we were going, where he was. And he was across Canada in the sun, in BC.
So then you were quite glad when you arrived in the Bulkley Valley after that trip.
Well, I don't know if I should say I was glad. It was an awful long trip. 3 dogs-ish. And by myself. But I made it. And
health soon.
Well, of course, I was in on the prairie.
Mm-hmm.
To start with.
So you came over to the prairies first?
Yeah. We were there 4 years before he said we had to go to, he said we would go to BC, because that was more like Norway than the prairie. Of course. We managed to get out there.
So what did you think of the Buckley Valley when you arrived here?
It wasn't much, but it was nicer than the prairie, I would say that. People were very nice.
Where did you stay initially? Did you rent a house right away, or did you stay in a hotel?
We had to rent a house. $10 a month. But we just rented it for a month. Ran out of money. My husband had. Applied for some land. Pardon?
Under the Homestead Act.
Yeah. So we had to pay $10 for that. We managed to get the $10 and pay it. And here we had these 100 acres, but that was it, 100 acres. With nothing on. So, well, we didn't have any more $10 to pay for house rent, so we moved up to this 10 acres, the 100 acres. Put up a tent. Some poplar put up some kind of a shack. Spent the summer there. Then we started to look for timber to build a house. Those days we could go up in the woods, cut some logs, and build a house without doing anything else. You know, just say you were building a house.
So you just applied under the Homesteading Act for some land?
Yeah, and my husband had done that already for these 100 acres. You know.
And was that a common thing at the time?
Oh yeah, you could get a homestead, 360 acres or whatever. But we just applied for it.
So the first while you were in a tent.
Yeah.
And then you built your own house out of logs?
Yes, we got the logs out from the bush, put the logs up, moved in, there was one window way up in the house, and a door. Kids would stop in an old heater, and that was it.
And what type of work was your husband doing at the time?
Anything he could get paid. There's no work. That's why we try to get hold of this piece of land and try to get the house made somehow and have a place to live. Of course, we had three children. We had to try to get them to school.
And what was that like, getting them to school?
No trouble at all. I couldn't keep them home. All they wanted was to go to school.
So the school was in Smithers?
You went to school in Alberta, yeah. For years before we moved out here. Mm-hmm. And then we started getting in Swedish. And they just went to school.
So how did they get to school?
A lot.
All year round?
Oh, sure. Skiing in the winter, walking in the summer. We never had a vehicle.
So what were your days like for you at working at home? What was a normal day like?
Well, getting up early, get breakfast for the kids, making lunch, get them to school. Then my husband and I would try to get some land, clean the pudding gardens. And that was it. And he tried to get some money somehow, a job if he could find it.
So what kind of farm machinery did you have at that
time? Nothing.
Nothing?
Spade, the fork, and a hoe. That's all we had. And that's what we used.
So how long was it before you were able to put in a garden?
Well, we could put in a little bit the first year, you know, by hand, you know, a few things. It wasn't much. But here we had tried to get some money somehow. That is another thing.
So when was it that your husband went off to war?
Well, he joined up in 1940. Yeah. Well, he couldn't get any work. He didn't have any money. So he went down to the government office. So the guy that was in the government office said, well, my husband said he couldn't find any work, he couldn't get any money, and he had 3 kids. So this fellow said, why don't you join up? My husband was 50 years old when he did this. The guy in the office was a young fellow. That is why he didn't join up. Well, anyway, my husband joined up even against his age, and he got in there even when he was 5 years.
And what was it like for you managing on your own at that time?
Well, it was fine. In the meantime, kids were growing up. My daughter, she joined up. My boys, they both joined up. When we got to that age, 17, 18. So then it was all by myself.
So did you get money sent back to you to live on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I took the job. I just tried to pass to the family. And they kept the house.
So if we can backtrack here a bit, can you tell me about your husband's ski jumping days in the valley?
I guess he jumps, that's all I know. Well, they never seen anything like that here. He happened to come out here on the job at Lake Kirtland to harvest the ice for the railroad that's Humber out. And then of course he saw the snow here. People here never had any skis, they didn't know anything about that. It was an old fellow that had skis, and they went skiing of course. People got interested. One of us disappeared. And they tried to get some work. And of course, the family was still in Alberta. So we had to stay there, but we got several jobs.
Your husband was kind of a trailblazer for the ski hill. He got things going there.
I guess. He could ski since he was 5 years old. So.
Can you tell me about your experiences on the ski hill?
Oh, I never skied. I just skied for my own pleasure. That's all I did. And of course, the children, as soon as they could walk, they had skis. Made some kind of planks for him to start with. And skied ever since.
How did people get up to the ski hill?
What? Oh.
So at that time they walked all the way up to the ski hill.
They want to get higher up, they have to walk.
Yeah. So they walked from Smithers up to the ski hill.
I don't think it wasn't very many who did that, but the people that wanted to ski and knew something about it, well, of course, then people started to get interested, wonder what was going on. So, of course, it was this old fellow and my husband that really started to walk it.
And your husband had one of the first ski cabins up there?
Yeah, he cut down two timber, moved the cabin, and we used to get up there and spend a weekend there and just ski. People said, what are you doing? You just ski around. There's nothing there, he said. No, it's nothing there. It's a nice and peaceful and quiet. A lot of new snow. That's a difference. You can see fun of it. Kids like it. We like it. The cabin is still there.
So when did you move out of that log house, that original house that you were in?
Well, we're still in the house.
Still in it?
We're still in it. Back in Swedish. And I still got the house, and I grew up there, close to the line.
So it was built pretty sturdy then?
Yeah. It didn't fall down the first day, anyway. Oh, yeah. This timber was on the land, you know. He had some kind of application for 100 acres, so he didn't steal the land or anything. He just got cut it. You can't do that, no. Those days, things like that.
So did you build the house by yourself?
Oh, yeah. Bit by bit, one window at a time.
So how long did you actually stay in the tent?
Well, just that summer. Oh, yeah. We had to get out of the tent because it would be pretty cold to stay there in the winter. There was lots of wood in the country. We didn't have to freeze.
So at that time, what kind of activities were there to do in the evenings?
Well, the kids got up at 6:30 in the morning to go to school. He came home in the afternoon, and whatever they were doing outside or skiing and doing homework and going to bed early and getting up early. That was it. Sundays was a little different because then people in town started to wonder what we were doing. There wasn't very many people living out of town like we did, you know. And the kids had friends and they came up and so it ended up that the kid told his parents, we are going up to Daly's, skiing. So my husband usually went with the bunch of kids.
So was it cross-country skiing you were doing?
Yeah, touring, enjoying the show, Sundays. So. You know, I don't know what to do, but I know those days, the kids, when we were with us, you know, and parents were safe, when they knew the kids went with us. And we used to ski around, bring a little lunch. So that's how this person's head doesn't work during the week. You know, you know, skiing, that's for sure. And kids have to go to school.
Is there anything that sticks out in your mind about your time here in the Bulky Valley, a funny experience or anything that sticks out?
No money. Wasn't much money. Yeah. My husband was in Swans. I was on a prayer with the kids. Of course, he wanted us to come out there. Well, we started from Edmonton. I had $15. I had got from my mother in Norway. She just sent me a little gift of $15, and that was quite a bit in early days, you know. So I was going to save that for Christmas, like. Well, it ended up that the kids and I, or my husband took the boys with him from home in Alberta. He had a cattle car. He had a couple of cows, some calves, some chickens, and he got a cattle car to take out from Alberta to BC. So he took the two boys with him on the cattle car. Of course, he wasn't supposed to do that, but he did anyway. He took them with him, put up a big cupboard inside the cattle car, and a couch behind it, and told the boys to stay there and keep quiet when the train stopped at the station. So the police was there. Anyone in here, the police says, open the door to the cattle car. Yeah, my husband, me. Of course, you never told me about the boys. And we were left in Alberta. We had to come out here somehow. So I had these $15. I got from Holden to Edson. 4 o'clock in the morning, the conductor said, sorry, you have to get off the train. I didn't have any more money. I didn't have a ticket. And here was us too. 4 o'clock, he said, train stopped. And she and I walked off the train and into the station and we sat there. My husband was supposed to come on a freight train after me because he had his cattle. And he was supposed to throw some money out to me so I could buy a ticket for her and me to go on the train again.
For your daughter and you.
Yeah. Well, anyway. And he had the boys behind his cupboard on the couch. Hide them all the way. Keep them quiet. Well, she and I came to Edson. We got off at 4 o'clock and we sat there until 7 o'clock in the morning. And then I saw the train come. So, of course, it was a mile long about a train, you know, long trains here. So we went out on the station there, and, you know, my husband was in the first car after the end. And how many cars after the first, they had to go through the station. And he was staying there, waiting for a train to stop. Well, eventually it stopped. It was quite a ways to walk, you know, to catch up. So we did walk up there, and of course the first thing we met was the police. So, where are you going? So I said, well, I'm going up to that car behind the engine. So he wondered what I was doing there. I said, it's the dog meeting us one up there. And we're going to BC. Oh. Well, you try to get there, he said. And he left. And here I was with her. And we just kept on walking when we got to the beginning of the train. And of course, Penelope came out. And he had been out here before, so he had been an engineer on the train. He had no trouble, you know. To engineer who we were. It was like we got on the train, but we still had to hide in that cattle car. So we were there. And I had made buns and boiled eggs and milked the cow and drank the milk. And we were on that train for 3-4 days. Stopped at every station. Anyways.
So did you and Marta have to go in the cattle car too?
Well, sure, that's where we were. Oh yeah.
So you had to travel on a cattle car to get to Smithers.
Oh yeah. Well, that was fine. Cattle was happy as long as I was there. And Milton. Anyway, we got here. And his friends. We had some friends in Swedes. They knew we were coming on the train. So she marched down to the passenger. Oh, of course I wasn't there. Couldn't find us. There was an old woman there with 3 kids. Because I was in the cattle car. So I hadn't got off yet. Anyway, we couldn't get off before. My husband had talked to the police. Anyway, so the police came around, of course. And asked was anyone else in here? Oh yeah. And my wife and couple of 2 kids. He had to let us off. He couldn't leave us there. So we just marched out. So we got this marriage. So this lady that was going to meet us, she went home and she said that they weren't on the train, so I know where you are. So we just got home to the house. And here we were, waiting for you. They didn't know where we were. But here we are, so she had dinner for us. After 3 days on that freight, I was pretty dirty and heavy, hungry. Well, we had food to eat, I couldn't eat, but the kids, they were eating anyway. And they drank milk and ate buns and wings, whatever. Been working and trying to look after ourselves. Doing pretty good.
So looking back on your time in the Bulkley Valley, can you sum up your memories of it?
You see, I was home in Norway until I was
English.
When you are in Europe, you promise everything. Well, in Canada, you have everything. You know, there's lots of money, lots of everything. When you get here, it isn't so lots. Things are terrible. You have to work for it. And we did work for every bit we had. Never go to central government. None of us.
So you worked hard, but it was a happy time?
Well, that's what we were working for, to get something for ourselves here in this country. We had to work for it. We didn't give it to them. Some people did, but we didn't. I always liked to work. And we got this extra land, and we still got it. And it's hanging on. Kids got it now. I know they will do it as I'm going. But I'm sure they will hang on to it. We had a good time here. Enjoyed the people. Smithers was a nice town to come to. Everybody was very nice. And the kids had their school here, and then the time came and they had to get out, and they all joined up. Of course, my husband joined first. So then he was left all by himself. My husband was in the army, but the war was over. The boys joined the Navy, and Martha joined the Air Force.
Okay, thank you.